Welcome back to the Hardball Gets podcast. Of course, Tuesday's version is called The Loose Ballers, which is myself, Xavier Ellis, and Dylan Buckley. On this week's podcast, we talk about the scandals and the emergency management clubs go through. Zach Williams, is he a star or not? The Harley Bunnell saga kicks on. I also feel at the moment, journos are becoming arse sniffers again, looking for bad news stories. We do our tips, and of course, we've got a new segment called Storytime. Tune in, enjoy. Of course, if you get the opportunity to rate and review, please do. And of course, obviously, thank you very much to Mazda, the brand new Mazda BT50 with its class leading design and more technology than ever before. Brand new Mazda BT50 is the complete package. Enjoy. Deal, how are you, mate?
I'm well, mate, and it's good to hear your voice. I've missed it, and yep. This is a favourite time. Tuesdays, we get to catch up and chat, and not much makes sense, but it's always nice.
No, it doesn't, does it? Now you're in Victoria. You're getting out the other side, mate. You are close to rejoining the boys at the local for a few stubbies. You're nearly there.
We're so close, man. It's actually this weekend we're allowed to have – so the FYI, the new thing in Melbourne right now is picnics. Everyone's going mental for picnics.
Yeah, nice.
That's the only thing you can do. So you go to the park, take down a slab, you ride your bike down, and it's just been now said I think you're allowed to go with two other people, maximum of five for picnics. So
yeah.
Where I live, I'm in northern suburbs. I live in Edinburgh Gardens, as I was saying last week, and I went down there last weekend. I've never seen so many people sitting in a park.
What's that beer ad where it's like they turn up to a holiday destination? It's like, is that you, Roger?
Jamison, Roger. Yeah.
Smithy.
Yeah, Mick Jamison.
That that's one of the best ads.
Yeah, I think it's a Carlton draft one.
It's like at the bloody... Yeah, there you go. Mate, you'll be having groups of five at the park, but there'll be five different groups of five. I love it.
The missus will organise the trip, and I'll be teeing up all my other mates to be there as well. So that's exactly like that.
Exactly right. Now, mate, you've met me on a dark day today.
What's happening?
I've been absolutely belted in the radio ratings. Oh, oh, Dale.
Is anyone tuning in?
Mate, well, apparently not. Oh, and like not only have I missed me bonus, I might be getting the lemon sauce from work. We've been absolutely pillared. Oh no!
What's who's the competition at the moment? Do I have to come over and take some legs out?
Yeah, you might have to. Nah, so it was one of those books where obviously we're in the pandemic. We haven't had one for 6 months. So not a lot of people in the cars and sort of getting back to normal now, but the 6PRs of the world, so like the 3AWs,
yes.
ABCs,
oh,
where you're getting your news and that sort of stuff. So
we've got
a small out I'm giving ourselves, but we'll get back on the horse. That's one thing for sure.
That does make sense though, because even people, you know, I've spoken to a few people, and I'm not just saying this because they don't listen to my podcast or they don't listen to Loose Ballers, but they're saying, you know, I'm not in the car. I'm not catching the train to work anymore. I'm not listening to as much radio and podcasting as I do. It's basically people just listening to things they have to, which is your 6PR, 3AW. They're giving you the news. Whether it's true or not, you can make your mind up, but it's there.
Oh, mate, Southern Cross, please just don't fire me. I've got another kid on the way. Mate, this time of year, the AFL, you know, obviously the Mad Mondays is probably a hotspot for it, but obviously the off-season as well. Have you been involved at either GWS or Carlton where you went through not so much a scandal, but, you know, an incident or misdemeanor or, you know, when they get their phone call or text message, you know, we've got to have a meeting or something like that. In your time, did you ever run into or were you involved in any sort of scandal, misdemeanor, incident off field that obviously led to a meeting of descriptions?
Oh, geez, it gives me the sweaty palms and the heart rate just thinking about that because I hadn't had any misdemeanors myself, but in a footy club and having a career there for a few years, you're always going to be a part of a few. It's just that thing, isn't it? Like you get that group message. There's always a WhatsApp group with the boys that goes off, and then it's also another WhatsApp group that's got the whole club in it, and it rarely gets used unless it's a quite serious occasion. And it's funny because just quickly, that WhatsApp group gets used and then the other one group goes really quiet because no one knows what's going on. So it's like everyone coming to the club today, it's your day off, you're like, oh God, what's going on
here?
Like, if it was me, surely I'd know what's happening. But it's a scary time. Like I remember the biggest and again, not a scanner, but just a big time. I remember when I was at the Blues was when Mick was getting sacked, and basically it was crazy. We were sitting in a meeting,
yeah,
and sorry, we were outside the meeting room, and on the outside the meeting room was all the TVs, like sports news and whatnot. And basically they had Mick walking from his car into the club, but it was like a bit of a long walk. So he's walking, getting interviewed.
Yeah.
Like we're watching it live on TV and we're getting ready to go into a meeting where he's like going to announce that he's not, you know, coach anymore. And we're watching it like going, there's my car. Okay. He's just about to walk in. All of a sudden we see him, the cameras stop. And then like, we're like, all right, boys, straight into the meeting. And it was just like, it was surreal. It was crazy how it all worked. But yeah, you're right. Those times are pretty scary. I'm sure you might have had a couple. Is there anything that sticks out?
Well, the emergency management. In my first year, I don't know if you remember the story about two players who had their medical file stolen from a hospital. A cleaner, they started, I don't know if it was he or she, but they stated they found these medical files sitting in the gutter or something like that, where they were stolen and sold to a network. And then they were going to report it, and it went through the Supreme Court and had an injunction put on it or something like that, where they couldn't name the players. They were going to name the players and everything like that. I was sitting at home and I had no idea of the story. So I had absolutely no idea what was going on. It was the very first story on the news. Hawthorn, stick around. We got breaking news. It's going to be, you know, change the season, change the fabric of the footy club. So I'm glued to the TV going, well, am I involved? What's happened? Anyway, sure enough, it gets to the time of the release and the judge had stepped in and said you cannot name these players for the medical files being stolen. It was done illegally and that was it. I never heard of it, but it caused my parents and a lot of other footballers' parents, because we didn't get told a story or anything. Like, it wasn't one of those things where you go to the footy club and they go, this is what's happened. Nothing. Mm. So like my dad rang me and he's like, mate, is it you? Like, is it you that's getting, you know, in the, and I was like, nah, mate, it's not. I don't honestly know what's going on. And dad felt like a bit of a dick because he knew it probably wasn't me. But as a father, you'd be remiss not to check in and go, look, mate, if this is a 1 in 100 chance and it is you and I don't ask if I can help, I'll kick myself. Yeah. But we had this awkward conversation. But the other one I was involved in, where they say any media is good media and any front page is the best news you'll get all day. In my second season, so when I was at boarding school, I had a TAB account for the boarders to use. We used to use this, you know, on a Friday night. The boarders used to sit at home in the boarding school and have a little interest on Friday night footy. Yeah. If we won, we'd use it on the Saturday night on the town. If we lost, then, you know, whatever. So anyway, I'd finished school, progressed, and I gave the card to my brother, who was 2 years below me, so the tradition could sort of continue. Anyway, halfway through the footy season in 2000, and it must have been 2008, I think it must have been, my little brother texted me. I was driving. I still remember it, heading out to Amy Park to play Adelaide, and it just dawned on me. He goes, mate, just wondering if this TAB counts in your name. And I was like, yeah, it would be. And he goes, because I reckon we've had 1,000 bets in your name. And I was like, what? Knowing it.
Oh, yeah. No.
So I'm driving to the ground. I've pulled aside the PDM, Jason Burt, and said, mate, Bertie, look, there's a bit of a drama here. I think I've had a TAB account running in my name that's had a fair few footy bets. Anyway, sure enough, and I was one of the first ever for it to happen to, like well before Heath Shaw and those guys. You know, so I had to go into the AFL, get separated from my brother, have lawyers like interrogate my brother to try and, you know, work out if it was actually an accidental story of what had happened or whether it was something sinister. Anyway, they'd let us go, but we couldn't name my brother and we couldn't come out with a story and go, my little brother was using it in the boarding house, da da da, because he was threatened to be expelled by Melbourne Grammar if the school was named. So I had to be really ambiguous around a family member, and everyone's like, oh, a family member, good one, dickhead.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was actually my brother, and I couldn't say it because he was vice captain of the school. So the threats of him getting expelled was the reason why I was being, you know, a little bit of a fluffer. But anyway, I got let off, obviously, because I was not guilty of anything. But that was my scandal. Yes, front page of the paper, lead story on the news. And it was like, I'm just a kid trying to find my way. But as I had to go cancel the TAB account, my little brother texts me saying, just check what's in there, mate. I checked. The last bet they had was for Vola most goals in the round, and he kicked 8. And there was like $160 in there. So I whipped it out and cancelled. But that was – That was my scandal, I suppose, or, you know, issue that I...
Yeah, I don't remember that scandal on that one, but maybe it was a little bit before my time. There you go.
My first year or two. But, yeah, so that got me on the front page. My only ever front page of the paper was,
the betting scandal.
Yeah, so that was me. Hey, quick one. I don't know if you've heard over there. So the West Coast boys are doing their 14 days quarantine at the moment. So by the time they play on Saturday... they would have done 15 days quarantine at home. If they lose to Collingwood, because Collingwood have only been in the state for 8 days, they have to do another 14 days hard lockdown quarantine. So they would have done 28 days quarantine if they lose this weekend. I mean, the state over here has gone completely and utterly mad. Like, it's craziness what's happening over here, in my opinion. But imagine losing. You get knocked out. And you've now got to go back to your house for 14 days if they lose on Saturday night v Collingwood.
So is that because they're, you know, like playing with players from another state, obviously?
Yeah, well, Collingwood are deemed.
But if they win.
If they win, then they move back to either Adelaide or Gold Coast. And then they'll have to do their 14 days when they return. But that'll be in 2 weeks' time or something. But if they lose this weekend, they go from a 14-dayer into a 14-dayer.
The AFL, the world's gone mad at the moment. But I suppose, look, WA haven't had a case for a long time, so I think they're doing something right. Maybe we should be taking some pointers.
Yeah. Hey, just going through the listings and trades and all that sort of stuff that have been happening. One that I reckon you'll be able to give us a good feel on, Zach Williams. So GWS obviously now, and Carlton talking about a lot of money. You've played with him. You've also got Carlton in you. You've got GWS in you. Personally, I think, geez, that's a lot of money and a long commitment to a player who probably wouldn't be in their top five players, I suppose. But is that because of a lack of opportunity to play where he wants to play? What do you make of the Zach Williams situation?
Mate, honestly, I'm not just saying this. He's easily in the top five players of the Giants. So I think he's easily in the top five players of the Blues, if not just behind, you know, Cripper and Doc.
Yeah, okay.
He's a genuine superstar. Like, he's the sort of player at Giants that, obviously, with midfield time and stuff, like, didn't get as big opportunity because it wasn't his forte, and there's a lot of guys there that go through it. But when the shit hit the fan, and especially around that final series last year and the year before, it was like, all right, we need a spark, put Zachy in the middle, and he turned the game. Like, he's a freak. It was really weird. I've seen, like, you know, Mark Robinson as well be like, you know, this is stupid. A lot of people saying it's not a great trade. Mm. Zach Williams is a gun. And, like, the best thing about Zach that I really like as well is – he's not one of those players that relies on a good team around him. He's the sort of guy that he can play in any team and he'll play well.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's a massive for the Blues to get him, and I'd be paying him whatever he wants.
Would you say, GWS have been sort of touted as having one of the top end midfields. So you've got Taranto, Cornelio, Catley, Jake Hopper, those sort of guys in there. Would you say if Zach Williams had, you know, consistent midfield, say he was just a midfield and didn't have to worry about the halfback stuff, could he get into that Kelly Cornelio bracket?
100%, mate. He's so damaging. I don't know the stats, but I think when he came back from his Achilles, he was playing a lot of midfield, and, you know, due to injuries, like, he was sort of put straight back in there because they didn't have anyone else. And he was getting his 30s, you know, a week. Like, he can get, like, massive possessions. And the one thing that we all know is Zach Williams is he's got – a beautiful kick. Yeah. He uses it well, and he runs, and he puts a ball under his arm and he runs, and he takes a game on. So I definitely think that he is in that echelon already, but like you said, he hasn't probably had, just from my personal opinion, I think that he's a really super player. And it's a bit like a lot of guys at the Giants, it takes them probably, because they're in Sydney, it takes them probably that extra 3 years to, like, get notice on those things.
Yeah.
But if he was in Melbourne already, like, people would be already putting him in that bracket. It's a bit like Nick Haynes, you know. Like, everyone thinks Nick Haynes is this new player that's come out, but he was been doing this for 3 years, and it just took a while for people to notice it.
Nick Haynes, I hate Nick Haynes.
He's so good.
He took my record off me for the most marks in a grand final last year. Fucking Nick Haynes.
He's a good player.
Hey,
he's got to be good to do. He's got to be good to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting because, as I said, like, I would have put Zach Williams as an almost, you know, a certain starter every week. But if if you're telling me, Cornelio, Kelly and those guys, Tirano, who's one of best and fairest, if he sits alongside them comfortably, because that is something Carlton needs. You can't keep bashing Cripps, and Cripps needs some sort of speed or something, you know, to complement his game. So I'll give
and
you that.
And that's the thing, even with that though, X, is like Zach might not come and play a full game in the midfield, but what it does allow is if someone goes and sits on a defender, it frees up Doc and then it frees up Zach. So they might be – Sam Doherty might play a lot more midfield time next year.
Yep.
And because there was no one else there for Carlton to be able to free him up, or, you know, if he left that line, there was no drive off the halfback. So especially with Simo gone, and you look at if they get Ahmed's Saad as well, it's going to be incredible, like their halfback line and rotating through the midfield wing. They'll be seriously pretty quick.
Just one more trade I saw that was muted today. Bashir Hooley returning to the Bombers. Maybe Bashir Hooley's been an absolute megastar at Richmond. I can't see that happening.
Far out. No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, just popped up in the car as I was driving today. It was said something like the Bomber returning home, and I was like, who's the Bomber returning home? You forget Bashir Hooley started out. Bashir Hooley
at the days,
at the Dons, he played under 13s against me, Bashir, and he was the best player in the country. So Joel Selwood was our best player, and he was Miles our best player, and Bashir Hooley was Vic Metro's best player. Bashir Hooley, we needed to ID check him. He was a hairy beast at like 13. He could kick it 55 metres. Like Joel Selwood would attack him with all his might, and Bashir would just swat him like a fly. Like, just go away. He was so big and so damaging, Bashir. He's turning into a bloody good footballer at Richmond.
Yeah, it's just funny. So like, even with when he was at Essendon, like, I think I was probably a little bit young back then to know, but obviously did the research and whatnot. It's heavily documented now. But yeah, he's been an incredible player, man. Had such a good career. I can't see him going back to Essendon. Like, I don't know this. I'm just thinking out loud. Like, I don't know why he would want to do that.
Up
to him. He's got two flags, so why not?
Last one, and we'll get into a couple of tips for the weekend. The Harley Bunnell situation I found interesting. Apparently he had another contract on the table, and then he had a misdemeanor costing the D's $50,000. Did you see Harley Bunnell at his best?
I did. I actually played a little bit with him in early days. So we were actually in the AFL AIS Academy back in the day.
Oh, your year. Righto.
Yeah, so it was back when there was like 20 – 15-year-olds and then like 10, 16-year-olds. So he was a year older than me. But I've never seen, like you spoke of Bashir back in your year, like I've never seen someone as talented as Harley play. Like, he is seriously, you know, one of the silkiest players I've seen. I actually had to play on him in a state under 18s game. It was just me playing on him at full back, which lucky Vic Metro was winning that day. So, you know, there wasn't too much coming down, but it was pretty scary, man. And it's just, you know, I still know Harley. I love him. Like, he's a ripper guy. He's such a nice guy. And I know that doesn't get reported now. And it's irrelevant. But, you know, I'm a bit devastated, really. It's just, it's sad because I know how good he is and what he had, but his body didn't work out.
Oh, some of the games that he played in, I went through his stats. Maybe it was his second or third year where he was having 25 and 4, 6 and 30, like so incredible good. Stuff like that. And it's a shame that it's not a sad story. I think when people say it's a sad story, I think a sad story is like Max Bailey, who did 4 ACLs. It's just a poor ending to what could have been a tremendous career. And you're right, I had limited to do with Harley. I saw him around Perth a couple of times, but always said g'day, always had a chat. And one of the very, very few people in a footy game that I actually chased down from behind. Ran him down. Yeah.
Gee whiz. I don't know about that.
No, it's as fact as fact. I should get it. It was a waffle game and I was 110 kilos and Harley, I squashed him, like a full squashing.
I don't believe that. I'll have to get vision up. We need vision of that on Loose Ballers.
We've got to find that vision, Joshy.
But just even on Harley, I want him to – hopefully it all works out really well because he's such a good dude. And I know that these times people love to jump on and tell a story, but the human side of it is he actually is a beautiful person, such a good dude. So I think we just got to remember that, you know, as much people like to report on these things, like there's a human element to it as well. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but he's a ripper and hopefully can bounce back from whatever it is.
I've noticed a little bit too last week or so, you know, the news coming out of the hubs and Queensland and whatnot. The journos are starting to become a little bit arse sniffy. Like they're looking for stories they're looking to try and, I don't know, there's a little bit of a gotcha feel about last week. Maybe there's no footy on and you got to feel the papers and the airwaves and the news slots. But I just felt last week there was just a tiny little tweak towards things have just changed a little bit. But we interrupt this podcast to introduce a new segment. It's called BT50's Heavy Lifters of the Week. It's pretty simple. It's your thoughts, your opinions from what you've noticed in the first week of finals or what's going on at your local football club. It's such an easy concept. Email us or simply slide into our DMs on our socials, Hardball Gets. Please write in, let us know what your opinions, thoughts are of what's going on in the footy world. You might also want to nominate a local legend or simply tell a story. It's a simple concept. It's BT50's Heavy Lifters of the Week. Should we jump into this week's games, Dill?
Definitely.
All right, mate, I want a tip. So we've got four games this weekend starting on Thursday night. I want a tip and why. Port Adelaide v Geelong Thursday night at Adelaide Oval.
Okay, I'm going to go Port Adelaide because they're in tremendous form. But I think the week off is going to be – it's going to affect them the most. Like they were in such like good form, like momentum was – awesome. But this game could go either way. I'm going to tip Port Adelaide, but I wouldn't be surprised as well if, you know, the extra week would have helped Geelong. Joel Selwood, is he getting up? I think that they'll be a lot better for the week off. Your boy, the Tomahawk, is in some serious form at the moment too. So it's going to be an awesome game.
I'm going with you, Port Adelaide, as well. And the only reason is because I've gone against them all year and I've been proven wrong all year. Eventually, I've got to jump on
it. Yeah, same. Believe what they're same. Doing. Seriously.
Working. Yeah. I heard a couple of conversations too about Gaz, like Geelong are better without Gaz at the moment. And don't get me wrong, he's not Gary Ablett of old, but there's one thing for sure in a final. The teams will be putting in time into Gary Ablett. They're not going to, if Grant Myers goes and beats you, you go, well, tip your hat. If Gary Ablett goes and beats you, you haven't planned properly and you're a fool. So Gary Ablett plays every day of the week from my seat. Richmond v the Lions at the Gabba on Friday night. Richmond have not lost to Brisbane for almost about your length of life.
I've seen that, man. I've seen that apparently Dusty Martin and Cochin have never lost to Brisbane. That can't be right, is it?
Something like that, 15-0 or something.
That's crazy. That's ridiculous. If that's true, that is absolutely crazy. In saying that, though, I think it's going to happen this week. I think that I reckon Brisbane will win.
Mate, two from two here. I'm going to go to the Lions as well. Another one similar to Port. Like, eventually I've got to jump on and believe what they're doing is correct. I spoke to Grant Birchall during the week, who is a Brisbane Lions player these days, obviously ex-Hawks. And he just reckons they've got that youthful exuberance where you can't cap the excitement and the want for them to be professionals and to be successful. Some teams get it and just go in autopilot, where these kids are just chasing it now. And after last year's losses, he's pretty excited. So I reckon the Lions get that done, obviously, without Tom Lynch playing as well with his hamstring. I reckon the next two obviously knockout games, St Kilda versus the Dogs at the Gabba.
Yeah, Doggies will win this. I love Saints. I think they're great, but like it's just probably good for them to make the finals this year. I don't think, you know, I'd be wrapped if they could win it, but I don't think they couldn't go too much further.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The Dogs for me. I think their midfield, I think, just might get it done. I saw Norton training with a helmet on. Have you ever worn a helmet in a game?
I used to wear one in juniors.
did you?
I actually did. The Caleb Daniel full setup. Yeah. Quite embarrassing.
Was that because you had that injury?
I fractured my skull as a kid. When I was like 14.
That's right.
So I put my head over it once, learnt from that, never again. And wore the helmet. And
why would you?
And then when I got to footy in the AFL, I was like, I'm not wearing this anymore, but I'm definitely not putting my head over it.
So you got drafted in a helmet?
Yeah,
your last year of 18s wore the helmet. And you're a virgin still, I assume, then.
Yep, correct.
West Coast v Collingwood over here at Optus Stadium Saturday night, and big news deal, Channel 7 have brought the big gun back.
They need the ratings kick.
For his first boundary roll of the year, they've got me back in the suit.
Well, mate, it's fantastic. Make sure that suit still fits, firstly. Secondly, the ratings kick will be great. Hopefully it it doesn't, you know, copy the other ratings. But for me this week in Perth, and I say this a lot, I'm not trying to win over my WA people, but I think the Eagles have got it. I think that I just love the way they go about it. Their finals, you know, they know what they're doing. Obviously, grand final rematch here as well. Sometimes that little mental edge just, you know, you just – it just helps.
Yeah, I'm with you. Last time was a bit of a fake score, though. They won by 66 points and kicked 18 goals, 3. And I had a few beers before the game, and I was arguing with Fraser McGuinness about Nick Nat v. Grundy. And I said, I think Grundy will get a hold of Nick Nat, and that might be a bit of a difference in the game. Well, I couldn't have been further from the true and the actual result. Nick Nat beat Grundy and beat him convincingly on the night. And now I've seen it. That was the baton change of the All Australian. It was like Nick actually dominated Grundy. So for me, I'm West Coast as well, but I think it'll be a lot tighter than what we saw earlier in the season. So we've gone Port, Lions, Dogs, West Coast, 4 from 4.
Yeah, I think I like that. I do. I think, as you said, mate, you know finals. It's your time of the year, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And normally, I don't think there's going to be too many upsets this round. I think it's, besides the Brisbane one, I think that's, you know, it's going to be pretty straightforward.
Yeah. What about two? Just literally as you were talking, he said make sure you check that the suits fit you. I got a text because Hodgie's obviously put on a bit of beef too. They don't put us in suits anymore because we look like fat pricks. So you go the chino and a sports jacket. Yeah, that's what fatties wear. So that's what I'll be rocking Saturday. So they said send me through a bloody dress chart or whatever you're thinking of wearing. I was like, don't worry. I know what fat messes look like when you're on TV, and I'll be something that looks less fat.
Slim. Forget black about it. And slim.
Thank you very much for...
Boys, wait, just one sec.
Sorry, is that Joshy Gallop, TikTok star?
Yeah.
Mate, the famous Joshy Gallop. Yeah.
Sorry, I've actually just been watching you on the screen from the side the whole time. I actually need to do this. Got a message from Nick Rin. We've got a new segment, and we need to get it going. So basically it's story time brought to you by the Mazda BT50, the complete package.
I love BT50s.
I love the way that you just, what's it called again?
The Mazda BT50, the complete package.
No, what was the segment called?
Story time.
Story time. Yeah. And then it just flows into a sponsor. That's natural stuff, that is.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. Yeah.
You guys, shut up. So we'll get straight into it. But basically, I was going to pose a question to you guys, and then we'll get the people that listen in to either DM you guys or send a message to the Hub or Gets Instagram with some ideas. But basically, what you want to hear these guys talk about can be anything whatsoever from their personal life or their footy careers or whatever in between. But basically, I always found it funny when you see a guy like Jeremy McGovern, who looks like he's never touched a weight, be the strongest guy out there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's guys that look like they're chiseled out of marble.
Yeah.
And they suck.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Pointing question.
Behind the scenes, what were your experience of these guys?
Okay, so for story time this week, you want to know who was the performer in the gym and not so much on field, and then vice versa.
Yeah, correct.
Who was the slot? Who
came in off the draft and you're like, this guy's going to be a gun, and then he refuses to go into a pack.
Dildo, you go first.
I got two, I think, just off the top of my head that just fit the both perfectly. So the big boy in the gym that looks great and is very strong, preseason hero, AFL zero, and just looks all the goods but cannot deliver is our one, Daniel Gorringe. I've never seen a bloke look more ripped, bigger, stronger, preseason hero. Bolts thought that he was Nick Riewoldt one day on the track. But then against the games, he doesn't want the contact at all. Contrary to that, the bloke who looks sloppy but just doesn't really do too much and then gets out there and dominates, I've never seen it done any better than Lockie Whitfield. It's actually impressive. Now, Lockie's got an incredible work rate. Like, he's honestly very fit and works hard. But in terms of his rig and sloppiness, it's pretty embarrassing. It's one of the worst rigs, you know, I've seen. But when he gets out on the field, he's so tough. Like, he just runs his ass off and – it's pretty crazy how it can work out like that.
So I'll have a go, and I'll start with those who were just looked so good with their shirt off, and like, oh man, I was envious. He just ripped to shreds. This guy used to call himself Juddy. Like, used to on the track when he had the footy run around and call himself Juddy. That's how he thought he moved on the training track. Bo Mustin. Now, Bo Mustin at Hawthorn did his knee a few times, had a body on him like you couldn't even we might even put a Instagram photo of him, find one of Bo Mustin without his shirt on. It was sexy. But then he didn't play a hell of a lot of AFL football, Juddy. Unfortunately, just not the Chris Judd version, Bo Mustin. And in terms of the two, Buddy Franklin, when he first turned up to the footy club, they had to bang out Max Chins, and Bud didn't get one.
He couldn't get one.
Chin or a push up. Nah, didn't get one. Nah, the big 6'6" gangly body could not get up over the bar, and then obviously comes out and looks freakish. So Buddy. But then also on the Lockie Whitfield train, Andrew Gaff.
Mm.
Andrew Gaff's rig is as sloppy as you'll see. Like, he's got a chest like a surfboard, honestly. Not one bit of deviation over his pecs. It's just a flat fur ball, but incredibly hard worker. Like, you look at him and just does not stop working. He wore a pair of boots deal. I've never seen it before. Because he runs with like low knee lift, he sort of just flicks the surface with his boots. And he just grinds away stops. So the stops will just disappear, not fall out. They'll just get sheared down from grinding on top of the ground. So Andrew Gaff's rig's deplorable, but what a fantastic footballer. And it's those guys like Lockie Whitfield and Gaffey. You just think, how do they do it?
Oh, it's so annoying because, and I can imagine, you can imagine for a fitness staff or even a coach, you know, you preach all these things about being a professional athlete and working hard, and then there's the exception to the rule, and you sort of like,
yeah.
Do it, except for that guy. You just do whatever you want because it's working. Like, everyone else, you have to do this. But, like, for you guys, you just keep doing what you're doing because it's great.
Yeah. But the thing is they do stuff. I just don't know where it goes.
Yeah, like, there's no impact.
I'm no Adonis either. But, man, I've got man boobs now because at least I had, like, a tiny peck at some stage.
It's anyway. Under there.
So that's story time, Josh. So all you got to do is hit us up on our socials, Hardball Gets. Throw in whatever you want. I'm sure there's stories or something you want us to touch on, or, you know, something you've always wondered. So hit us up when you can. And that's us done for the day, Dildo.
Always good to catch up, my friends. Say g'day to the sun over there for me, and hopefully can see you soon.
Well, that's another week done and dusted. How good? Footy Finals is back on the agenda. Sit back and enjoy Thursday night. And, of course, tune into the handsome guy on Saturday. Myself will be on the big screen again. Please hit up our socials. Of course, we are running the new segment Storytime and the Heavy Lifters of the Week, which is your opportunity to contribute to the podcast. Nothing is too feared or foreign, please. Write in anything you'd like. Of course, thank you very much to the brand new Mazda BT50 with its class-leading design and more technology than ever before. Brand new Mazda BT50, it's the complete package.